I'm Jenna.
And I'm Gianna.
And this is One in Five,
a podcast about mental health.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to episode 2 of One in Five. Today, I'm going to be interviewing my co-host, Gianna, about her disorder, OCD.
Yes, today we are going to be talking about obsessive compulsive disorder, otherwise known as OCD. And before we get started, we just want to give you a few quick facts about OCD. So, to get started with a little definition, this is from the National Institute of Mental Health. Obsessive compulsive disorder is a common, chronic, and long-lasting disorder in which a person has uncontrollable, reoccurring thoughts, otherwise known as obsessions, and or behaviors that they feel the urge to repeat over and over, otherwise known as compulsions. So OCD is typically a genetic disorder, and for me, I think that's true because I actually have a few family members who do have OCD, but there are also some other risk factors, including childhood trauma, that have kind of shown a correlation to OCD, but there really hasn't been enough research yet to prove that. OCD can be a lifelong illness, however, you'll kind of experience it in waves a lot of times. Some years you might have it really, really bad, and some years you might not notice it at all. OCD cannot be cured. You will technically have OCD all of your life, but it can be treated and you can learn how to cope with it. About 1 in 100 adults suffer from OCD and about 1 in 200 kids suffer from OCD, so it is pretty common, and that statistic is from the International OCD Foundation. So those are a few little facts about OCD, and now we are going to hop into the interview.
All right, I'm so excited. So the first question I'm going to ask you, Gianna, is when did you first notice the signs of OCD?
We didn't start noticing signs of it until I was about 5 years old. And I obviously don't remember this because I was 5, but my mom has told me about it. Basically, when I was 5, I started not wanting to touch certain things. I didn't touch dirt. I didn't touch things in public. I was just very, very careful about what I did and did not touch. One other thing I did besides not touching things was washing my hands over and over and over again. You know, germaphobes, like, do wash their hands a lot. But OCD is a little different just because a lot of the times you're not really washing your hands to get rid of germs. You're just washing your hands because your brain is telling you to. And a lot of times people will do those kinds of things because they think that something bad is going to happen if they don't. So I really can't remember what was going through my little 5-year-old brain, but I do remember having to wash my hands over and over again and not really knowing why, because there was no rational reason why I was washing my hands over and over again. My brain was just telling me that I needed to. And I have one very vivid memory of me hiding in my guest bedroom and washing my hands over and over again and like checking over my shoulder every 2 minutes because I was so scared that my mom was going to come in and yell at me for washing my hands, but I just couldn't make myself stop doing it. And then my mom kind of realized that when she made me touch things or she made me not wash my hands, it started going away. And that's very similar to how you actually do treat OCD. And so that's why it kind of started to go away and it wasn't as noticeable. And then in third grade is when it kind of started to pop back up. I actually remember the first night when it kind of came back. So that first night when my OCD became noticeable again, I remember laying in my bed, and I had said my little nightly prayers, and I said, amen. And then usually, you know, that would be the end. You'd be done. But I remembered something else, and I added it to the prayer, and I said, amen again. And then I thought of something else, and I said that, and I said, amen again. And then I found myself not being able to stop, and I just kept adding things and adding things and adding things. And, you know, usually, like, if you don't pray about every single thing in the world, like, it's okay, because, you know, like, God knows what you're saying, but I had to say every single little thing that needed to be prayed for, and I could not stop doing it, and I couldn't sleep, and I remember bawling because I was so confused as to why I couldn't stop. It felt like my brain was making me do things, and I just ran downstairs, and from that point on, my mom kind of knew that there was something not quite right, and I don't think she was super familiar with OCD. But she kind of knew what it was, and she thought that might be something like that. So she took me to a therapist, and we talked about everything that had been going on. And then, after a while in therapy and after taking a test, she officially diagnosed me with obsessive compulsive disorder.
So that was in third grade?
Yes, in third grade.
Okay, so if you don't mind me asking, Gianna, I know that you've told me that you've gotten over a lot of your past compulsions, but if you don't mind sharing what some or all of those past compulsions have been.
So I think that at first when you hear the definition of OCD, you hear like uncontrollable reoccurring thoughts, obsessions, and then you hear behaviors that someone feels the urge to repeat over and over, compulsions. I think the best way to help people understand that, though, is giving examples of what each of those are. So let's start with my obsessions. Back in third grade, a lot of my obsessions were kind of repeating words over and over again. So, for example, you know, when you burp or when you pass gas, you say, "Excuse me," right? So every single time my stomach would make a little noise, like if it was hungry or something, or you know, sometimes when you hear like those weird little bubble noises in your stomach,
yeah,
it wasn't even me passing gas, it was just like little weird bubble noises. Every single time I would do that, I would have to say, "Excuse me." This is in my head, so that's why it's like an obsession, it's not an action. So in my head, I would have to say, "Excuse me," over and over and over again, and it took forever to be able to stop. And so for a lot of people, they're able to kind of say words that they have to repeat a certain number of times, like, okay, I have to say this word 5 times and then I'm good. For me, I've never had like a certain number. It's always been just say it over and over again until the anxiety goes away. So basically with OCD, what happens is when you're in a situation where you feel the need to do something, for example, whenever I would hear my stomach grumble, you get overwhelming anxiety, and that can come in different ways. For me, it's usually like my throat tightens. I feel kind of dizzy, like my stomach feels really weird, and until you, like, do what your OCD is telling you to do, so in this case, saying "excuse me" over and over again, you will continue feeling that sense of anxiety. And so I just had to say "excuse me" over and over again until that anxiety feeling went away. There wasn't really, like, a set number. So that was one example of an obsession. Another one was that I watched a movie in probably like 4th or 5th grade, and it had one little cuss word in it, and for some reason that freaked me out, and I repeated the word over and over and over again in my head. A lot of times people with OCD have obsessions where it's something that they really don't want to think about, but they can't stop thinking about it. So for me, it was that word. I was terrified of the word because I thought I had like done something wrong by hearing it. And so because I didn't want to think about it, I guess my OCD just made me have to think about it. So those are some examples of obsessions. And then on the other hand, you have compulsions, which are the actions that you have to do over and over again. So one example of that for me was when I was younger, whenever I left a room, I would have to turn the light off. And then I'd walk out of the room and I'd have to come back and turn the light off again, even though it was already off. I'd have to like put my hand on the light switch and make sure it was off, and I would have to do that several times. So another example of a compulsion that I used to have was folding a towel perfectly. Every time I would finish using the restroom and I would wash my hands, I had to fold the towel perfectly. The little corners had to match up. If it was off even a little centimeter, I could not leave the restroom. And I think that this is kind of where, like, the perfectionism that's associated with OCD kind of comes in. But it's not even that you want it to be perfect. It's just that your brain is telling you you have to do it. That could be for completely random reasons. I know some people think that if they don't do the thing their brain is telling them to do, a person in their family will die. And your brain just kind of tells you that. For me, most of the time, I didn't really know exactly what would happen. I just kind of thought something bad in general would happen if I didn't do the thing. But I didn't know exactly what. So basically my brain told me, fold the towel perfectly or something bad will happen. So I had to fold the towel perfectly every single time. So those are just a few examples of my obsessions and compulsions that I used to have in the past. But I got over those with therapy as well as medication, which I know we'll talk more about later.
So hopping into present day, I'm very interested to hear, and I'm sure other people are too, what you do to cope with your obsessions and compulsions now.
Sure. So OCD, like I said, cannot be cured. It can only be treated. So for me, mine has been treated in two different ways. So the first is medication. I take medication called Zoloft, which is used for a lot of different mental illnesses. But Zoloft is the medicine that I take every single day. As well as that, I have been in therapy on and off since third grade. And what you mainly use to cope with OCD and to treat it is called exposure response prevention therapy. So let's go ahead and break down what exposure response prevention is. Okay, so basically the first part of that is exposure. You basically expose the patient to the situation where they normally feel compelled to do something or where their obsessions kind of begin. So as an example, let's say that someone is a compulsive cleaner. They have to clean all surfaces perfectly. So in that moment, you would expose them to a dirty stove. You would expose them to the situation where normally their OCD would be triggered. And then the next part is response prevention. So then you would prevent their normal response, which their normal response would be to clean the stove. And so what you would do is you would prevent that by sitting there and not doing the thing that you normally do. And I know that for a lot of people, this can be very difficult to understand because I've often heard people say like, well, okay, so if you can stop yourself from doing the thing then why can't you do it all the time? You know, why can't you just stop yourself from doing it? But I think what you have to understand is that when you're in that situation and you're preventing your normal response, you have overwhelming anxiety. Your throat clenches up, your stomach hurts, you feel so uncomfortable in that situation and so terrible. But what you're doing in that moment is you're training your brain that if you don't do it, everything is gonna be okay. So let's go back to that example where I had an obsession where I had to say that certain curse word that I heard in a movie over and over again in my head. So basically in that situation, what my therapist and I did was she basically made me say the word over and over again, which seems kind of intense, but it worked. It no longer made me scared of the word, and so my brain didn't feel the need to repeat it over and over again, which was wonderful. So I still use those kinds of tactics to this day with my compulsions that I have now. So for example, one of my obsessions / compulsions that I have today is after I pray, I have to say the word amen over and over again in my head. But what I do to cope with that is I sit down with my therapist and we say prayers and then we just sit there in silence. We don't say the word amen and we just sit in that feeling of being uncomfortable and anxious and train my brain to know that it's going to be okay. So along with those obsessions and compulsions, I also have some kind of generalized anxiety that just kind of comes with the disorder because it is classified as an anxiety disorder. And so how I kind of deal with that is very, very similar. So for example, I usually get kind of just general anxiety when I'm about to hang out with someone. And it can be kind of weird because my rational brain is so excited to hang out with that person, but my anxiety just kind of makes me freak out. I end up having an anxiety attack. I end up crying, saying I don't want to go, begging my parents not to make me go. But how I deal with that is very similar. I just make myself do it, or normally it's my mom makes me do it because I beg her not to make me go and she's just like, no, you're going. And that's, once again, that's just you training your brain that once you do it, nothing bad is gonna happen. So yeah, that's how I usually cope. A few other things, when I just feel general anxiety, some of the things that really help me, one of them is showering. Like, taking showers just makes me feel 10 times better. And even when it's not, like, anxiety, even if I just kind of feel like I'm in a funk, taking a shower is something that's so amazing. Jenna and I were kind of talking about this earlier. Doing a face mask is not the only way you can practice self-care. There are so many other things you can do. And for me, just one of them is taking a shower. So those are a few ways that I cope with my OCD as well as my general anxiety.
Interesting. Okay. So my next question is, I know some people have anxiety or even just like mental disorders that are triggered by certain events, certain places, certain activities, whatever. So I know we kind of already talked about this, but does your OCD affect you on a daily basis or is it more triggered by certain activities?
Yes, so my OCD definitely does affect me on the daily. There are definitely some situations, like when I'm going to bed and praying, that my OCD flares up. Or another example is when I'm eating. A lot of times I will scan myself for food, and that's just kind of some random compulsion that I do. So that's another time when my OCD flares up. So yes, it does affect me almost every single day.
So I know for me, at certain times, my anxiety is extremely exhausting. And I know I've struggled in the past with maintaining kind of just a balance in my life without getting burnt out so easily and getting just completely exhausted by my anxiety. So my question for you is, does your OCD exhaust you? And if so, what do you do to keep balance in your life?
Sure. So OCD is very exhausting. The repetitive nature of it makes it very tiring. I get so sick of having to like stop what I'm doing to repeat something over and over again. And I mean, it can be exhausting just to be in your head all the time. It was especially hard when I was younger, and it was super, super bad because I feel like with OCD, I always feel like my rational brain tells me one thing and my OCD brain tells me another. I always think of my OCD, I've always thought of it as like a little demon in the back of my head, like telling me to do things. And then my rational brain has to be like, no, demon, get out of here. But so yes, it's definitely hard because that demon is very exhausting. I was just constantly having to repeat words over and over in my head, and I felt like I was trapped in my own head. And I remember in third grade, I got to be in a very bad place because I once again felt like I was stuck in my own head. I felt like I couldn't get out. Now that I think about it, I don't think I realized at the time how bad it was. But there were days when I literally wanted to just not be here anymore because I was so tired of it. I was so tired of not being able to think my own thoughts. Now it is so much better. I don't feel that way at all. I feel like I do get to think my own thoughts. Obviously, there's still that little demon that makes me do a couple of things, but it's not nearly as bad. And that also makes me feel very, very lucky because I know that there are people whose OCD is much worse than mine is. And I did experience that, but now that I've been on medication and I've had therapy, I've been able to learn to cope with it. But I feel terrible for the people who are still in that place where they feel like they don't have control over their own brain because it's so exhausting. A few of the ways that I cope with that, I think distracting myself used to be really, really helpful because if I'd like watch a TV show or read a book, I would get to distract my brain from thinking about OCD and thinking about all the things that my OCD wanted me to do.
I'm so happy you said that because I have personally done that too as well. I've distracted myself by reading and watching TV and even just like getting involved in one specific activity that causes your mind to sort of divert to something else, to have another goal.
Exactly.
I've felt that way too. So my next question for you is, how has OCD or your anxiety in general affected your relationships with your family or with your friends, or has it affected them at all?
That's a wonderful question. I love that question. It definitely has affected my relationships, especially within my family. My family has definitely been able to further educate themselves on anxiety and OCD because they see it so firsthand, and they've all kind of trained themselves to see it very quickly. Like, they know when I'm doing something inside of my head, and they all kind of know to immediately snap me out of it and say, stop it, resist it. They all kind of know when it's happening, which is really lovely because they kind of know what's going on in my brain, you know? And then also, I think some of my friends are able to realize it now. For example, I was late to a party one time and I got there and one of my best friends literally said to me, you're late because you had an anxiety attack about coming, right? And I hadn't told her, and she just knew. And I was like, yes, that's exactly why I'm late. Because 2 seconds ago, I was bawling because I was scared. But, so I think it's brought us closer. I think that it might be a little inconvenient for them. I have canceled on a friend before because my anxiety was so bad. But for the most part, they've all been really lovely and understanding, which really means a lot to me.
I love that. So, now, Gianna, I'm going to have you take over this question and sort of debunk the stigma around OCD because there is quite a large one.
Yes. So I think with OCD, there is a huge misconception that people with OCD are just perfectionists. or that they're germaphobes, which is not the case at all. So, I hear people all the time saying, oh, I'm so OCD. Or maybe they're, like, organizing their pencils a certain way, and they'll say, oh, sorry, that's just my OCD. And while I think a lot of people don't really find it a big deal, whenever I hear it, I get so mad. And I don't really say anything because I don't want to be that girl that's like, you know, getting mad at people for saying that they have OCD, but it really does hurt. I feel like it kind of minimizes my entire experience with OCD and makes something that affects me on the daily seem like all it is perfectionism. I've heard this one so many times. When someone doesn't erase the whiteboard all the way, and then the person will say, oh my gosh, I can't, you need to fix the whiteboard, I'm so OCD about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it might be kind of annoying to see a little mark on the whiteboard that wasn't erased, but it is not OCD. And so I hope that this podcast kind of educated you about what OCD actually is, and how it's not just perfectionism, it's not organizing things a certain way. That is not OCD. OCD is a mental illness. OCD is an anxiety disorder. It's not perfectionism. And I know that a lot of people do refer to these kinds of things as their OCD. And I'd like to ask you to not feel guilty about it. But now that you have listened to this podcast, please just move forward and try not to say it again. And just think before you say, oh, I'm so OCD, or sorry, it's my OCD. Think about all of the people out there who actually suffer from this mental illness and who OCD affects on the daily, who feel like they can't find a way out of their thoughts and feel like there's a little monster in the back of their head. Think about them before you say, oh, it's just my OCD.
And I think bouncing off what you just said about the OCD and people sort of diminishing it to just a perfectionist tendency, I think that goes along with anxiety as well, or in my experience it has. Okay, my second to last question for you, Gianna, is kind of an important one to me. What positives have you seen come out of your disorder in general?
So I think having my anxiety disorder has definitely caused a lot of negatives. It's definitely made life harder, but at the same time, I am very lucky that my OCD has improved a lot since third grade. And also there are some positives. Going back to what I said earlier about relationships, I think while it might be a little inconvenient for my family and friends, I think at the same time it has brought us closer, and I really feel loved when they understand what I'm talking about with my OCD. And then as well as that, I think that another positive is that having OCD has made me more conscious of the stigma and has made me want to change that. Having OCD has made me really able to educate people. I've had some really awesome conversations with people. I've had a lot of people ask questions and clarify. And so I'm very thankful that I'm able to use my experience with OCD to help educate people about mental illness and about obsessive compulsive disorder specifically.
So my final question for you, Gianna, and this question is actually what we're going to end all of our interviews with because we think it is so important. Why do you personally think there's such a large mental health crisis in the world today?
Sure. So I think that technology has really contributed to it a lot. I think that social media is a big, big part of that. I think as much as we all kind of say that we're not comparing ourselves to others, I think we subconsciously do, and I think that's something that we can't control, and I mean, you don't have to blame yourself for it, but I do think that technology and social media has definitely played a role in that. I think that technology and social media have some really wonderful positives, but they do also have some negatives, and I think that just kind of finding the balance between, you know, using social media to spread awareness or to talk about issues that you're passionate about and to keep up with your friends, and also, you know, taking time off of social media. As well, I think just that not many people talk about it. I think that that's something that we definitely want to help work on with this podcast. And I think that, you know, people hiding their mental illness and not talking about it a lot can be really harmful and just make things worse.
I definitely agree with your answer. So on that note, we are going to end this episode here.
So thank you guys so much for listening to my personal story with obsessive compulsive disorder. Please keep in mind that everyone's experiences are different, but this is just mine personally, and I hope that we were able to educate you about obsessive compulsive disorder, what it is, what it isn't, how it affects you, and all of that good stuff. If you would like to learn more about obsessive compulsive disorder, one really good resource is the International OCD Foundation. They have some really good information, and you can definitely check them out to find out more. As well, if you would like to email us or DM us on Instagram, I would be happy to respond to any questions about my OCD and OCD in general.
So with that, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. If you are listening on iTunes, make sure to leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. And you can DM us. Our Instagram is at 1in5pod. And you can email us, which is 1in5podcast@gmail.com. And if you're interested in coming on the podcast and getting interviewed about your experience with mental health, do not hesitate to reach out. We would love to hear from you. So with that, we are done with this week's episode.
Yes, thank you so much for listening in. Make sure to tune in next Monday, where we will be talking all about Jenna and her experience with mental health and with still being in the process of being diagnosed.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, bye guys.
Bye.